Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be back here. You know, like last time I was here, it was like, Lord says, okay, you're done for now. Well, I got home and it was like God says, okay, time to lock and load another clip. So, loaded me up again. It was kind of funny, but, well, it wasn't funny at the time, but 3 or 4 times on the way up here, the motorhome broke down. And so anyway, I was going by a rest stop, and I had it going again. Everything looked like it was going good, you know. And all of a sudden, the Lord, as I was doing about 60 miles an hour, and there was a rest area ramp. And just as I started to pass it, the Lord says, pull in. I like the way, you know, the Lord doesn't always give me a lot of advance warning what he wants me to do. So I just squalled all 4 tires and went up this ramp and pulled in and stopped. And I said, okay, God, now what's this all about? And a lady pulled up next to me and got out of the car. And she went into the rest area. And I was started taking the back of the motorhome apart, taking the panels off of it so I could get in and work on the motor. I thought, well, being I'm stopped, I may as well fix this thing. And so this lady walks around the back of the motorhome. And I was laying there underneath of it. And she says, is everything all right? And I says, no, if it was, I wouldn't be working on it. I says, but that's okay. I says, because I don't let this stuff bother me too much because the devil stops me here. And I said, I'm just going to win some souls for Jesus while I'm here. And I ended up getting to pray with this lady. She was from New York, and she knew Jesus, but I got to pray for her, and she said she had a pain in the back of her head and her neck that just couldn't get rid of. And I says, well, you came to the right place. He said, well, God told me to pull off. And I said, well, you just had a divine appointment and you're not going to see any more of this forever. And so I got to pray for her and she went her way and I went my way. But the fun part of this whole trip is every time I see opposition from Satan when I'm going someplace, God's getting ready to do something. I remember one very memorable trip we made to Kenneth Copeland's, and I had spent $3,600 on the motorhome at the dealer, having it completely serviced, all new belts, all new hoses put on it. And before I got 30 miles from home, the first hose broke. And we got down in Oklahoma, and it was, what, about 105 degrees or something? This was in August of 99. And it blew off every new belt and new hose that I had put on it. Thank God I kept all the old ones, which is on it now. But in fact, I've been on it 6 years now. This little known to Jenny and me that...
The cattle prop underneath.
Oh, yeah. I coasted into a car wash. Motor wouldn't run. I couldn't go any farther. And so I stopped under a bay of a car wash. And I think, well, praise God, here's some shade. So I got out, and there had been a manure trailer that had been washed off there right before I got there. And so I had to lay in the manure and work on this motorhome. In fact, the motorhome, it was just blistering hot. It was steam coming out of it. And I had first and second degree burns on both my hands from working on that thing. We weren't going anywhere until I fixed it. But praise God, I got the thing fixed, and we got to Kenneth Copeland's, and I see now the purpose that I was being afflicted for, to try to get me out of walking in love and everything else, because God had a man there who had been quadriplegic for 8 years and who had been crying out to God in his prayers to be healed. And to make a long story short, the Lord just had me just go over there and ask this man, brother, what's your name? And he mumbled something, and I couldn't understand him. He couldn't talk. And I said, did you come here for your healing? And he nodded, yes. And I says, you know, Jesus wants to heal you. And he nodded, yes. And I says, and he started weeping a little bit. And then I says, Jesus wants to heal you right now. And he just started bawling like a baby. And I says, you know, God can heal you. And he nodded, yes. And I said, but you don't know that he'll heal you right now, do you? And he nodded, no. And the Lord told me to go over and get my Bible and turn it to Matthew chapter 8. I opened it up, and it says a leper came and worshipped him and saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And so I thought, okay, you know he can, but you don't know he will. And I sat down there for about 40 minutes maybe and read him every miracle of healing that Jesus did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I said, now I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to take your hand, pull you out of this wheelchair, and we're going to walk around this convention center. Well, God showed up. We walked around that convention center. Brother Copeland had him on his TV show giving his testimony. That was the first time God ever pulled a quadriplegic out of a wheelchair for me. And I mean, it wasn't none of this stuff about pull him out and maybe he can move a hand or something. I mean, God healed him. Just wham. And we walked around. That convention center was big. The reason Jesus did all these things is because of his compassion. You know, you read in the Bible, he was moved with compassion. What's compassion? Love. What's love? Well, God's idea of love is an unconditional love, like the sang in the song this morning. Agapeo love in the Greek word for it. And what I would like to preach this morning is we're going to call this check your love gauge. Now, last time I was here, man, I taught on authority. I taught about who we are in Christ Jesus, what we can have in Christ Jesus. And the Lord says, okay, now we got some other things to deal with. I am going to deal with some things that may not be real comfortable for us today, but God says he chastens those he loves, and praise God, we're not necessarily getting chastened today. We are getting informed today what is keeping us out of our blessings. When we go to Matthew chapter 3, I'm going to open in there. I want to have a word of prayer here before we start here. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I yield to your anointing, Father. I yield to your love. And Father, I just ask you to open the ears, open the hearts of each person here today that they may receive what you are giving them out of your love today, Father, that they may walk in all that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to go to Matthew chapter 3. We'll read through to Revelation today. Well, I heard an amen there someplace. In those days came John the Baptist preaching the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The Lord told me months ago, I can't remember how many months ago, but it's been many months ago, prepare the way of the Lord. I'm getting ready to come back from my church. They're not ready for me to come back. And the Lord told me, he said, Jerry, I've given you a worldwide ministry, and I'm giving you a ministry like John the Baptist to prepare the people for my coming. He says, a coach always brings in his strongest runners for the last lap. Okay? We're all running in this last lap right now before his coming. We're strong. God put his strong people here. But he's got to tweak us a little bit. We all need to just be adjusted. Just a little fine tuning here we need so to be able to run this race and not just run it, but win it. Jesus has already defeated the foe for us. We don't have to do any defeating, but yet we've got to run this race with the attitude we're going to win it. Getting back here to Matthew, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Now I wonder sometimes what he was talking about. Well, scribes and Pharisees and all these people here, they were obeying the law of Moses zealously. So they were not out committing adultery. They weren't stealing. They weren't killing anybody. And yet he says, bring forth fruits meet or fitting for repentance. Okay? He's telling us the same thing today. What is he telling him that they weren't doing? They weren't loving. They weren't walking in love. Scribes and the Pharisees, they were zealous after the law, but they were cold-hearted people. They had no love for their fellow man, but rather they expected everybody to wait on them and serve them. Love is serving, not being served. I know my wife is a good example of love. She serves instead of being served. She follows Jesus, and I admire that about her. That's what drew me to her in the first place. You better smile. I'm bragging on you. Okay, in verse 9, it says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Folks, we've got some good fruit to bring forth. Everybody wants to be blessed. Everybody wants to be prospered. Everybody wants to be healed. But I'll tell you what, before all that comes, we got to check our love gauge. We got to walk in love. Because everything God has is love. God is love. If we're His children, guess what? We better be love. If we're not love, well, then we're not His children. Because like father, like son. Oh, we may be adopted into the family, all right. But, you know, sometimes you adopt a kid and he doesn't live up to the family name. And sometimes I think God adopts some of us His kids and we don't live up to the family name. We don't walk in love. Sometimes we just fail to do the things that we know to do. It's not we don't know how to love. It's a lot of times we just make a choice not to. And that's sad. Because what if God chose not to love us? Well, we'd be crispy critters, okay? I mentioned that to somebody on the phone on the way up here. We were talking about the love of God. And I said, well, if not for the love and the mercy of God, we'd all be crispy critters. Every one of us. You think about that for a minute. Because God is love, He's merciful. So if we are trying to emulate our Father in heaven, the first thing that we need to be is love, not the second or third thing. We put things on backwards. We think, first thing I want to be is I want to be blessed and prospered. No, first thing we need to do is love one another. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up all the chaff with unquenchable fire. You see, and then after, and Mark going down into Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then was Jesus, after he was baptized, was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be God, command these stones be made into bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, took him up to the holy city and told him to cast himself off the pinnacle. And again, Jesus says, as is written. And then he says, all, he took him to the mountain and he says, all this is given unto me, I give it to whom I will, and I will give this to you if you down and worship me. And again said, it is written. Well, why did he say that? Because of his love for his Father. Because of his great love for his Father. Then it says in Matthew 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent of what? Okay, now he's going to the Jews. He said, live in the house of Moses. Tell them these things to repent of. Well, to repent of their repent for lack toward one another. Keeping the law. So they're repenting. They weren't stealing adultery. They were each other. Yet if Jesus to repent of, when Jesus looks at and he not over here robbing. He knows where to look at the gauge. Down the highway, you've got a car, you got a fuel gauge on that fuel gauge for your journey, right? Over on that doesn't mean enough. And that means you're going to run out of gas to your destination. God is telling us today, look at the gauge. Because if it's hanging on to, you're not going to get where you want to walk in the things of God. Influence of health. Walk in blessings. If you're not going to get where you want to go. Not. Now, Paul said, John, with the baptism of repentance, that is Christ Jesus. When they baptized the Lord Jesus, and when Paul laid on the Holy Ghost, they spake men against things concerning My sermon is wrong, people. He's got to be preaching. The love of God. Agapeo of God. Love. To save us from the lake of fire. Why? Because why does he love us? I'm just glad he does. I don't understand why as much as he does for all things. I'm sure thankful because not for that. I thought you that love is in God's genes. A seed doesn't corn beans. God is put in us who are so therefore the seed of God and what that seed be reproducing? God. Pitch with this. God's seed will reproduce its own kind. If he is living in us and it as he is, then we of God. He reproduces agape, love of God. Instead, many of us reproduce something else. And there's another kind of love that's called phileo. And there's another kind of love called eros, which is like love. That's where erotic comes from. You see, some of us are defective seed, where you're not reproducing agapeo, where you're reproducing eros. We're not reproducing agapeo. And then we wonder, oh God, why am I not walking in your blessings? If you go out here in your field and you go out and buy the best grain that you can find, best seed that you can find, and you plant that stuff, and you're going to get soybeans, for example, and up comes a bunch of grass, you're going to think, wait a minute now, I bought good seed. I'm expecting a good crop here. What is the matter? Well, so they mix some other seed. You know, you wanted 100 pounds of seed, we'll say. And so maybe they only had 50 pounds of soybean seed. And so they had 50 pounds of crabgrass. They just threw it in there to make you 100 pounds. Well, you're not going to be pleased with the harvest because you're going to have a bunch of grass and junk out there. God is not satisfied when he puts his seed in us and then we produce junk. That doesn't please God. God says, I put good seed into you, my incorruptible seed. Why are we not producing after God's kind? A lot of times it's just plain selfishness. A lot of times maybe it's just lack of teaching. A lot of churches really honestly don't teach that we are supposed to reproduce after the God kind. They tell us that we have God for our Father, but they don't seem to drill into our heads that if we have God for our Father, we ought to be doing what God our Father does and reproduce after his kind. Now I'll go over here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus that he would not spend time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul was teaching repentance. Repentance from what? Repentance from dead works that wasn't walking in love. But he was also teaching the Greeks. The Greeks were never under the law in the first place, however the Jews were. But he was teaching them both to walk in love. Paul laid his life down daily for the welfare of the church. He loved the church. He loved the people, whether they were God's people or not. He loved them. He looked upon them with compassion and mercy like Jesus did. He wants us to do that. And let's go over to Acts 26. Verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. Paul preached repentance. Jesus preached repentance. John Baptist preached repentance. Repent means to turn around and do the opposite of what you're doing. Now, we have to say this. We have to look at our lives. We have to look at our love walk daily. This is not just a one-time, you know, just like you check your dipstick in your car and you pull it out and you check for oil every now and then when you think of it. Maybe sometimes drive for thousands of miles before you check the dipstick. As long as it's running, there's oil in it. But that's not always the case, because you can still have a little oil on the dipstick and the motor's not going to run very good. And you can still have a little bit of love on your heart and deceive yourself into thinking you're walking in the fullness of God. But the fruit will show. The fruit will show. You don't get figs off a pine tree. You don't get apples off a elm tree. You can look at a tree in the wintertime and all the trees kind of look the same. There's no leaves, there's no fruit. You can't tell one from another. But when the summer comes, the fruit comes out. And then you can see, hey, that's an apple tree, that's a peach tree, that's a pear tree. Well, sooner or later, the summer comes and people can look at us and see if there's fruit on our tree or not. You know, if there's no fruit on our tree, we're not much good to anybody. The fruit is not for us. When a fruit tree grows fruit, the fruit tree doesn't pick the fruit and eat it, does it? The fruit tree is for the person who's hungry and comes and picks the fruit off. When people see us, we should have some fruit to pick. We should be able to be such a light for the Lord Jesus Christ by our love walk. How do they know us? By our bumper sticker? Do they know us by our "What Would Jesus Do" pen? Do they know us by our Bible that we carry around? No. They know us by our love. And if they don't see love in us, they're not going to know us. Maybe we think we're closet Christians, you know, and we only come out on Sunday. And we sing praise God, hallelujah, and then as soon as church is over, we go back, throw our Bible in the closet, go back and live like the rest of the world. And we're the very ones who say, well, God needs to move here in this church. God needs to do something here in this community. Well, yeah, God wants to do something in this community. God wants to do something in this church. Will you be a vessel for Him? Will you walk in love? Every church I've been to has had words prophesied over them that God wants to bring revival here. I don't think I've been to a church anywhere that has not had a word of prophecy spoken over them that God wants to bring revival. This church is no different. I feel God is going to bring revival here. First day I was here, I asked Pastor, what would you do if God brought 3,000 people here? You know, it's the first church I've been to that God has spoke that word over. Huh. And so I know God has a desire to bring a statewide, multi-statewide revival to this place right here. I have taught on who we are. I've taught on our authority. I've taught on healing. God told me to come back and teach on love. Because all this stuff doesn't work unless you have love. All the faith, I can have faith to move mountains, but if I have not love, I'm as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. That's what Paul said, right? I can know all mysteries, but if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. And you know what's worse about it? If I have not love, it profits you nothing. That's what's really sad. I'm here to profit you. I'm not here to profit me. I'm here to profit you, and if I have not love, I'm not going to do you any good. I can tell you all the mysteries of God, but if I don't love you, it's not going to help you. Jesus could have died on that cross just to die on the cross, but without love, it didn't profit us anything. Thank God He did it because of love. It wasn't nails that kept Jesus on that cross. It was love. It shouldn't be nails keeping us coming to church, and it should be love. I'd like to go over in Mark 10, verse 17. This is a story about a rich young ruler. And when he was gone forth into the way, this is talking about Jesus. When Jesus was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may obtain eternal life. Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said to them, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. That word love is agapeo. Unconditionally loved that man. And he saith to them, one thing thou lackest. Now see, Jesus could have said, oh, you're going to slide in just fine. No problem. But because Jesus loved him, he told him what he lacked. A lot of people will come in and tell you things and prophesy all kinds of good things over you to make you feel good, to tickle your ears, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to teach you what you need to know to walk in all the blessings of God, because I love you and I want you to be blessed. He says, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. You see, here's something I saw about this rich young man. Jesus didn't tell him to sell everything he had. You see, the man was on a business trip. Jesus said, go your way. In other words, continue on your business trip and sell whatever you have. He didn't have everything he owned in the world with him. He just had what he had intended to take to the market and sell. And he says, go your way and sell it. And give to the poor. He didn't say give everything to the poor. He just said give to the poor. And you shall have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me. He did not tell this young man, sell everything you have and give everything you have and come and follow me. He did tell him, come and follow me. But see, the man had a closed fist with his money. He was keeping the commandments, but he wasn't walking in love. And because he wasn't walking in love, he couldn't respond to Jesus and say, I'll gladly give up everything and follow you. He couldn't do it. Because why? Because the love wasn't there. Without the love, he could not be an instrument in Jesus' hand. And it says that he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered again and saying to them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches. Now there's the key, see. Not have riches, but trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure and saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, not with God. For with God all things are possible. Peter began to say to him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus answered and said, verily I say to you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now and this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. You see, God had a plan for that young man, but the young man was lacking in love. Well, there was a lawyer over in Luke 10, verse 25, that was kind of the same thing. Let's go over there. Luke 10, 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he says, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. This do, and thou shalt live. Okay? That didn't say, memorize the scripture and you shall live. He says, this do, and you shall live. So that means if you don't do it, you're not going to live. Okay? Now, maybe we don't want to hear that day. But if you're not walking in love, he says you're not going to have eternal life. Jesus paid the price way back there. It's already been paid. Doesn't need to be paid again. But there's a part we have to do. We have to walk in love. We know to do it. And Jesus commanded us. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. If God told us to walk in love, then the only way that God can be just is if he supplies us with that love. We can't walk in something if we don't have it. You can't tell somebody, go and mow my yard, for example, and you don't furnish them with a lawnmower. If they don't have one, then you're going to have to furnish them the lawnmower. Well, God has to furnish us that love so we are without excuse. We can't say, Lord, I don't know how to love. And I went before God one time when I first got saved and I said, God, I know what your word says. It says for me to love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength, and my neighbors, myself. I said, Lord, I know I'm supposed to do this stuff. I have no question about it. I know. But God, I don't even love myself. How can I love my neighbor? And the Lord told me, Jerry, he says, you don't have any love, but I'm going to give you mine. Oh, man, I'd rather have God's love than mine any day. I found out that I'm not going to go very far on my love. It's just not going to happen. My tank was on empty, but he fills our tank. How would you like to be able to have a car that you got to stop every now and then and let some gas out of it? Yeah? Okay, but yet God will fill you to overflowing so that you got to stop every now and then and just let some love out on somebody. You don't have to go to a gas station and get pumped up with love. God will give you so much love, you got to stop and get it out. You got to take the cap off and let it run out on people. We just don't get accustomed to doing that. We keep going to God and say, oh, God, give me love. Give me some love. Give me some love. And God says, how much are you giving? Take your cap off. Quit trying to hoard God's love.
That's right.
Take the cap off. Let it overflow. What happens when something's full and it runs over? That means it can't hold anymore, right? God wants you to be a vessel so full of God's love. Your vessel's full. You got no problem. Your vessel's full. The overflow's not for you. You got a full tank. The overflow's for everybody that you meet. So you got to say this, you know, is your love gauge, is it running on empty or is it running on full? How do you tell? Well, do you tell people about Jesus? Do you go out of your way to tell people about Jesus? Or do you wait for people to come and knock on your door and says, hello, I'm looking for Jesus. Can you tell me about how I can be saved? I've never had anybody come knocking on my door asking me how to be saved. People don't pull me over when I'm in the motorhome asking me how to get saved. It's always me going to them. That's how you tell where your gauge is on your love gauge. Is it running empty? Is it running full? Well, do you have unanswered prayers? I've been praying. I've been asking God for this. I've been asking God for that. Do you have any unanswered prayers? Check your love gauge. Unanswered prayers are a sure sign that your gauge is running on empty. Do you have sickness in your body? Check your love gauge. If you got sickness in your body, you're not walking in love. I'm sorry to tell you. If I'm stepping on your toes, better me than God. His feet are bigger than mine. My feet ain't real big. God's got some big ones. We can know the truth of God's scriptures. We can know all the healing verses. We can say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, but if we don't walk in love, we're going to stay sick. Period. Promise you. Matthew 10:17 talked about Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Love one another. Oh, man. Let's go to Jude. One chapter. Verse 17. But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. In other words, walking after their own desires, not having agapeo. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, in the agapeo, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Oh, I like that verse. Make a difference. God says that whatever you do to make happen in somebody else's life, He'll make happen in your life. You see somebody broke down along the road, stop and help them. They need help. Someday you're going to need help. What you do for somebody else, God will do for you. You think, well, God, I need my debts paid. Well, help somebody pay their debts off. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody there today. Whatever you need, do for somebody else. You need health in your body. Love somebody. Help take care of them and their sickness. And preach the word to them. If some have compassion, make a difference in somebody's life. My goodness, didn't Jesus make a difference in our life? Yes. Why? Because of His love. It wasn't because of His money. It's because of His love. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now to Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Jesus spoke to John in Revelation about the love walk. In every one of the churches, the seven churches, Jesus talked about the love walk. Let's go over to Revelation. We're close. In chapter 2, verse 4, he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." That word is agapeo. The unconditional love. You've left your first love. And he said, "Remember therefore from whence you have fallen and repent." What to mean, repent? Keep the laws? Keep all the rules? No. Love your neighbor. Love God with all your heart. Verse 9. Talk to the church of Smyrna. "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art our rich. And I know the blasphemy of those that say they're Jews and are not, but are synagogue of Satan. Fear not those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Why? Because he loves you. And because there we're walking in love in that church. You go over verse 16. He talked to the church of Pergamos, and he says, "Repent, or else I will come to thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." Repent. Love. Verse 19, "I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which callest herself a prophet, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not." And I brought that verse up because, see, God gives us space to repent, but sometimes we don't repent. And then we wonder why we don't have blessings going on in our lives. We wonder, "God, what's the matter? I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm tithing. I'm giving offerings. I'm going to church. I'm praying. I'm studying my Bible." Check your love gauge. Check your love gauge. Are you running on empty? Are you running on full? What are you running on?
That's right.
Jesus admonished every one of the churches. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. It says, "An angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that livest and art dead." Why were they dead? Their love gauge was on empty. Hello? "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard." You see, they heard. They'd been preached to. They had received it, but they weren't walking in it. "Hold fast and repent." Oh, you know, see, we just don't want to hear that word repent. We don't want to hear that we need to change some things we're doing. And I don't like it when God tells me to repent. I think, oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing everything I know to do. And he says, "No, you're not, Jerry. Check your love gauge." This is something Jenny reminds me of. Check your love walk. Because I don't care how many gifts you got. If you're not walking in love, the gifts won't work. It's just like having this cordless microphone here. And I mean, it's a fine piece of equipment. But if I don't put a battery in it, it's not going to work. Your love walk is your battery that powers all the gifts that God has given you. But if you're not walking in love, the switch is turned off. You can say, "Look at me, look at all my gifts," and a dead battery. Man, it's just like having a brand new Cadillac, brand new Lincoln, brand new Mercedes out here with a dead battery. Look at that fine automobile. Oh man, that thing rides so smooth. "Hey, take me for a ride." "I can't, the battery's dead." Okay? If you got a dead battery, you got to charge it. You're not going to go anywhere. Each church, God admonishes to walk in love. And God's doing the same thing here today. I'm going to close with this. If you check your love gauge, honestly check it right now. If you are looking at your life, you got sickness in your life, if everything's going wrong in your life, now the devil will come to afflict you just because you're a child of God. But I'm talking about if you're just living in defeat month after month, year after year, and you're going to church all the time, you're studying the Word, and you're praying, check your love walk. If the love is not there, God's got plenty He'll give you. But you know something? It's just like this. He wants to pour it into you, but He wants you to leave the cap off so it can run out to other people.
That's right.
His love's not just for you. It's for all these lost people out here, all these lost people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking for light in the darkness. Is your bulb turned up or are you Mr. Dim Bulb? Okay? Turn the light up. How do you turn it on? Love. Fill that lamp with love, the oil of love. Crank that wick up. Light up this place. We ask God to bring people in here. What do we got to give them? Are we going to love them or are we going to talk to them? Words are cheap. It costs something to love people. It costs us something to do things for people. They're feeding people out of this church here. There's love going out of this church. But are all the people in this church walking in love? There's a few here that's walking in love. Oh, my goodness, they're walking in love. But, you know, it's not God's will. Just a few walk in love. Got to be all His children. If there's some repentance that needs to be taking place here today that we're not walking in love. You know, Jesus says, I agree with your adversary quickly. If you bring an offering to God and you remember that you have somebody has ought against you or you have ought against them, He says, go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and give your offering. God wants you blessed beyond measure. But check your love gauge. If it's not full, get it full today. How do you get it full? It's real easy. Say, Lord, I repent. I'm going to quit being selfish. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to demonstrate the love of the Holy Spirit to these people that are living in darkness. It's easy to love the people in the church. Or is it? Oh, my goodness. I see more people in churches that don't love each other than I see on the outside. Yeah. Praise God, it should not be that way. I see denominations that can't get along with each other. You telling me they're walking in love? Forget it. I see pastors that won't talk to one another. Are they walking in love? Hey, they can tell me they love their people all they want. I'm looking at the fruit on the tree. And it's rotten. Praise God. God's not a God of rotten fruit. He's a God of good fruit. You got the best seed in you. You got no reason not to be reproducing after the God kind right now. Let's walk in love. Let's show these people what God is really like. Let's show these people what love is. And just watch how God blesses your socks off. Praise God. Thank you for purchasing teachings from Life Healing Ministries. We would like to also invite you to visit our website at www.lifehealingministries.org. And if this teaching has been a blessing to you, we would like to ask you to be a financial partner with Life Healing Ministries to help us to work together to take the gospel all over the world. You can reach us at area code 573-690-4367 anytime that you need prayer or counsel or any other thing that you need to contact us for. We're there for you. God bless you.